Hello and welcome to Father Figures, a show about parenting with an emphasis on fatherhood, uncommon fathers, fathers of all stripes. Here is where we explore the joys and the griefs, the risks and rewards of being a parent. I'm Stephen Amaya. In today's show, I'm going to share the hosting duties with my wife, Jennifer Amaya. Jennifer works often in the background helping me prepare for interviews, and I think bringing her on air will add a thoughtful perspective to our show. Jennifer chose our guest today, a father from Gearhart. He'll tell us about his family home that has been loved by five generations, as well as the family's devotion to philanthropy. Jen?
Well, thanks, Steve. I'm really glad to be here and be a part of it. When Steve invited me to co-host with him, and we were thinking of people that we'd like to talk to, there's somebody that came right to mind, and it's a longtime lover of our coast. It's somebody that's been a family friend for 35 years, probably. We met because of work, and that started a really long friendship. And so I'd love to introduce to you Scott Foreman. Welcome.
Yeah, this is pretty special to be with both of you. I've known Steve and Jennifer, as she said, for four decades as work colleagues. Jennifer and I worked at Warner Brothers together for a lifetime. So it's a pleasure to be here with both of you, and what a privilege to be sitting in the studio with you, staring at the Astoria Bridge and the beauty that only this place has.
Oh, great. Meeting you so many years ago, the thing I didn't know about you was that you have a place here on the coast in Gearhart that's been in your family for a very long time. And you would come back to the office in California with the most beautiful photos of your vacations. And I really didn't know at the time where it was you were going. You told us it was small, just a town out there with a little highway and a Dairy Queen. And I had no idea how fantastic it was. When my husband and I decided to retire, he found a place called Astoria. And we didn't know how close it was to your family home. And I'm so happy that now that I'm retired, we can still see each other regularly. So tell us about that place on the beach and how far it goes back for you and your family.
Well, the place is magic. As Jennifer said, our house is in Gearhart. I'm originally from Portland, Oregon. My mother and her family were from Portland. My father's from Hood River. And the family has been on the Oregon coast since the beginning, with one of the oldest homes in Gearhart, built circa 1908 or 1909. And we remain one of three families as original owners of our property on the street we live in Gearhart. I share a lot with Jennifer, but I try not to say too many things to my colleagues in Los Angeles because we don't need more Californians up here. But it doesn't get much more beautiful than being here and the magic of the fresh air and the seafood and the quality of people and walks on the beaches and a chance to just be in your own mind is special and spectacular here. Not to mention clamming and crabbing, which I did with my grandparents. I did with my mother when she was alive. And
That's perfect. That's wonderful. And you certainly have treated the home so well. And it's beautiful and it's lovely. And you've got a brother that you share it with. And so the extended families, you're continuing that legend of there's something special about this coast. And it was your grandfather that built it. Is that right?
My great-grandparents built it.
So it is great-grandparents. Yeah. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. So my grandpa, the first picture we have on our sun deck with his parents and him and his sister, he was 2 years old and he was born in 1901. So, yeah, it goes way back when they first originally came to the coast. They came by train and then they took horseback up to the house that the great-grandparents had built. I've shared with Jennifer, living in LA and being in the movie business, I've had the opportunity to travel. We've gotten to go some places as a family, but this is the only place that when my kids come up here, technology takes a back seat and people and relationship takes a front seat. And with three growing kids in an age of technology, it's pretty rare to get undivided attention and time with your kids. And that's the magic of this place for our family.
Now, do you come up sometimes with just one of your three children? And is that a special, different kind of time when you're one-on-one like that?
Yeah, I think I'll come up here anytime anyone will come with me, basically.
Okay.
But whether it's my wife, Lori, or one of our three kids, we had the great fortune in April of coming up with our oldest son, Jeremy, and his wife, Claire. And my wife and I said, where would you like to go? They were both having their birthdays, and we'll take you. And they wanted to come up to the Oregon coast and bring their child, our first grandson, Neil, to the beach. And I can't share with you the joy of watching my grandson take the same steps that I watched his father take and the same steps that I took as a kid and the flashbacks that I have to my own childhood. And being with my parents here is truly magical. And then last weekend, our youngest son, Bailey, flew out from New York, and we spent a weekend with him. And in July, our daughter, Felicia, will come out, and we'll spend a long weekend with her. And any other chance that I can get away from work and anybody in my family puts their hand up and says, I want to go to the Oregon coast, I'm in.
And that's great. We love that because then we get to see you too. So it's pretty nice.
Well, a great story I can say about Bailey and him coming up last weekend. Bailey's 26. He lives in New York. He'd like to be on Broadway. And he works in the restaurant business, which means he's a waiter. And he's working late every night.
Yeah.
And there isn't a chance that I'm going to get time with Bailey before 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. He's just not up because he's a young person. He's out late at night and doing whatever he's doing. We were up here three nights a week ago, and two out of the three mornings, Bailey on his own was up at 7 o'clock to go clamming with me without me prodding him. And that wouldn't happen anywhere else.
Yeah.
And that, in those steps that the kids want to take with me as their dad, that I got to take with my parents and my grandfather in particular, they're irreplaceable. They are the best memories of my life.
When I see you, I certainly see really good parenting. And I'm wondering, as I hear all these, you know, the lineage, it goes back to your great-grandparents as well. So maybe having that time together, just consolidated family time, has really been a foundation. I can't help but notice that one of the ways you've been a fantastic mentor to your children as a father is you wholeheartedly believe in and live the life of philanthropy and volunteerism. And I know that's something that you taught your children very, very early in life, which then touched a lot of the families of the people that are your friends or your coworkers or people that work in the industry that know you. And I'd love to hear about that because I think that is a wonderful place for children to learn about themselves and learn about helping others.
Well, I think as parents and certainly as a kid growing up, the foundation that my parents gave me an advantage in life. And I think the support and the love that we give our kids that they can take on into life with confidence, knowing that win or lose, whether they accomplish everything they're trying, as long as they're giving their all, that you have their back and that they know they can count on you to support them and you're going to love them no matter what is everything. And I was lucky enough that my parents gave us that foundation very early on, and the only thing they ever asked of my brother and I was to always be there for each other. Long after they're gone, you know, they assumed that we would be here together, and that we would look out for each other, and we just are trying to give the same foundation to our kids that we were given, because we know how lucky we were to always know that we had someone in our corner. And life was just easier knowing that we could lean on our parents at any time for everything.
What was the nature of that reliance? I mean, were your parents disciplinarians, or were they just lax? What was going on with them?
Well, they made an interesting balance. I would say I don't think I've ever heard my father yell.
Oh.
But yeah, I definitely heard Mom yell. she was very strong-willed, and she liked things to be her way. And what I remember most about my dad is when my mom got really upset, he would just say, "Please, just do it so I don't have to listen to your mother anymore." But they were a great team, and I think you can't have, you know, two people filling the same role, but if they support one another and you're consistent in your messaging, then you really help guide a path for younger people in finding their way. We're all individuals, and we need to do it on our own, but we all need a little coaching, and I was very fortunate to get a lot of that.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. And same thing is going on with you as a father, I imagine.
Well,
all perfect.
We'd like to think we are, but my kids remind me, as does my wife on a regular basis, less than perfect. But the one thing they would never probably doubt is that I love them, and that I'm there for them, and that they are the center of my world. And everything I do professionally and otherwise is with them in mind. And, you know, my parents always taught us that people will come and go in and out of your life. Mm-hmm. But hopefully if your family's strong and you find a good partner, those people are in your life forever. And that's been key for us. My father is thankfully still with us. He'll be 92 in June, and he is still my mentor and my best friend to this day. I communicate with my dad every single day and seek his guidance and try to be there for my kids. Probably there's times I'm there for them. They wish I wasn't, but
yeah,
it's really important to try and keep the connections with the generations in your family and
yeah.
Well, you've had some, I wouldn't call it success, but it's success with your children, in that they're all doing something really interesting and important. You know, your daughter is what?
She's a deputy district attorney in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that can come in handy. And
yeah, a little stressful for dad, knowing she's trying to make the world better and put all the bad guys away.
Yeah.
You know, we always worry about our daughters, no question.
Yeah.
But what a strong career she's chosen. It's really admirable work.
With our success and our fortune in life, we've all chosen to give back. And my daughter wants to make a difference and, you know, help get the bad guys off the streets and make sure that juveniles in particular are safe.
And then, so you have two sons.
Our oldest is Jeremy. And our youngest is Bailey.
He's Bailey, okay. What's Jeremy up to?
He's in wealth management in Los Angeles, married to Claire, and they provided us with what makes everything in the world right, our first grandson, Neil. And, you know, it's all about them now filling the role as parents, and it's amazing so many of the things that mom and dad, you know, probably annoyed them with when they were younger. It's so enjoyable to watch them do the same. And I think what every parent really hopes for is that their kids will be better at everything than they were. And it's a pleasure to watch them raise a little guy. And, you know, hopefully they'll want to have another child too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Kids change everything.
Well, it's kind of what it's all about for me in a way.
Yeah,
it's that circle of life. I can't imagine the world without them.
Mm-hmm.
And with everything going on in our world, getting political is not something I ever do. But boy, it's sure nice having a grandson that's so pure and innocent, and you can just see the world through their eyes, not being clouded by a lot of the things that adults have to deal with, and yeah. just seeing the absolute pure joy that come from children.
Mm-hmm. Now, did I ask about Bailey?
Bailey, he's in New York. He dreams of being on Broadway.
That's great.
And usually what that translates to, and that's the case for Bailey right now as well, it means he's a waiter an expensive New York restaurant, and he's living his best life. I wish for all my kids that they would find a way to enjoy life the way Bailey enjoys life. And then, of course, we'd love for Bailey to have some of the balance that the others do and be financially focused and finding his own foundation as well.
Yeah.
Well, I think a crucial thing with Bailey growing up, his interests weren't always the same as every other kid's. And he found at an early age that his parents supported him and loved him for who he was. And it gave him a confidence at 13 to go out and be the best version of himself. And he's a kid that certainly, through his own experiences, one of the most compassionate people I know as it relates to other people and helping them through their situations and their challenges. And that big-hearted nature with the confidence he had, knowing that he was loved and supported, he's gone out and there's nobody more fun to be with than this kid.
That is the truth.
He's the most entertaining guy in the room. And
yes.
You don't know where he's coming from, but you know you're going to have a good time if he's there.
Where did he get that from?
I have no idea. It certainly isn't his father, and I'm not sure it's his mother either. He's just a different kid with a creative mind and a love for life, and he's not the kid that wants to be serious most of the time, but boy, is he someone that you can have a great time with.
Oh.
We talked on the philanthropy a little bit in an effort to give back. The Amayas, along with myself and my family, have been involved in charities in Los Angeles, and my son and I created, Jeremy, our oldest, we created something called Junior Variety, which was a version of a charity whose board I was on that we created for teenage kids. And was so proud when your daughter Avery joined the board and the kids they learned the basics in philanthropy and put on fundraising events, and then they got to help direct where the money went to that they had raised. And I think they learned how to build community and work together for the greater good and develop an empathy toward other people and those less fortunate and giving back. And, you know, certainly one of the more meaningful things that I think our families have ever been involved with.
Oh, I agree. Seeing the teenagers create these fundraisers and having to, you know, throw themselves into it and work it, it definitely exposed our daughter to the fact that when you see a need, you really need to show up if you're going to fix it, and that there really are kind people who will use their time and their whole hearts to try to make someone else's life better, even if you haven't met them yet, but you're going to put, let's say, an incubator in a hospital. And that work continues to go on every day. You know, that incubator is fired up and helping. And those children, well, teenagers, realize, gosh, you really can do something like that. You really can change the world.
What's been the hardest thing you've had to do as a dad?
I think the hardest thing day in and day out is having to remember that we're parents first and friends second.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your kids can have many friends, but they only have one set of parents if they're fortunate enough to have a mom and a dad or one or the other. And our role first and foremost has to be a parent and guide them, where so much of the time it would be easier and certainly a lot more fun to be their friend.
Mm.
And I think having to discipline them is one of the hardest things as a parent. I think certainly the hardest thing in my lifetime with my kids was sharing loss with them. And when my own mother passed away over 20 years ago, she was a central part of everything we did. She was the guiding force that drove our whole family. And having to share loss and help kids cope with loss when they haven't dealt with it before is an overwhelming responsibility, yeah. and there really isn't a playbook that guides you through it. And trying to deal with the emotions and help people through rough spots in your life when maybe you're also having a rough time yourself is a challenge.
Yeah. What's the biggest risk you've taken with one of your kids? You know, it could be in the danger zone, you know, physical danger, or it can be, don't go to that college.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think there's all sorts of different risks. I think one of the biggest risks for me as a parent was just trusting my kids. Mm. And we're not all the same, and we may not love the same things. And letting people be who they are and love who they want to love and be the people they want to be is what being a parent is all about. And that isn't always easy. And boy, am I lucky that my wife is someone who is very in touch and puts me back on the right path sometimes to make sure that my feet are always on the ground and realizing that if our kids are healthy and they're happy, that's more important than anything. And from a physical standpoint, I wasn't the one that put my kids most at risk. That was all my wife. We went up to Alaska. We were invited up. We went up to Alaska, and we actually went to a bear camp. And the idea that we were out with brown and black bear adjacent to us and trusting a guide that we were going to be okay. With bears around us, I thought my wife was crazy, but it was definitely one of the most memorable trips we've ever had as a family.
Well, who had more influence over you, your mom or your dad, or was it pretty equal?
Yeah, I think they made an incredible pair. Certainly when my mom was alive, she was the one that ruled the ship. She was very strong, and she directed us and really took care of the home and put my brother and I in line and kept us on the path. My dad was much more easygoing. He was the guy that wanted to play ball with his sons and just be there to have a great time with his boys. And, you know, what dad did was go to work every day, 7 days a week, and earn the money to take care of our family, and gave my brother and I what I would like to think is a worth ethic that is rarely matched in our business in LA and right up there with, you know, the right work ethics that we are trying to instill in our own kids, where, you know, first in, last out, do your work so that, you know, you can provide for yourself and your family, but then you can also turn it off and hopefully have some fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the idea of first in, last out. Because you get to steal the keys.
You know, you follow in the footsteps of those that have guided you, and I just feel incredibly blessed by what my parents gave to me. And I've tried to emulate that and give it to my kids. And as they've grown up, then the philanthropy's taken a bigger and bigger role in my life and trying to make a difference and impact and influence other kids that didn't have the same opportunity that I was given and that my kids were given. So we've been very involved with Boys and Girls Clubs of America and Variety, the children's charity, and trying to provide opportunities for kids that wouldn't otherwise have the same opportunities that our kids have had.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, do you have any specific memories of the beach house, the beach out there where you enjoy your solitude?
Wow, I think there's countless stories. It's kind of the magic of the coast, the solitude and the fact that we were on the beach in April and it was a sunny day. And in Gearhart, there wasn't anyone else on the beach except my wife and I and our son and daughter-in-law. And our grandson, as far as the eye could see, playing on the sand. People don't seem to be in quite as big a hurry here, and people stop to say hello. Yeah. I was working in the yard this morning, and I had people stop me to talk about our rhododendrons in the yard and how beautiful they were, and plenty you don't get everywhere, just people enjoying the fresh air and sharing with one another, and that's what this place is.
Yeah, it's a nice place to walk around in. Yeah, mm-hmm. Or take a trolley.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I think your parents would be, you know, if your mom could still be here, I think they'd be really proud of you and your brother and all your children. And the fact that you've been able to keep this hub, this nucleus going for your family, that way to go.
Wow.
A lot of hard work.
Then it'll sound a little bit corny, but when I'm up here, my mom is still with us. And there's no other place where I feel connected to my mom like I do when I'm here, walking the same footsteps that I shared with her throughout her life, and honestly knowing every minute that I'm here on the Oregon coast, I'm exactly where she wants me to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's just extra comfort. That's the tucking in for me
mm-hmm.
that makes this place better than any other place in the world.
Yeah.
And I love that your children know that too.
Well, my oldest son had shared a text with me after Bailey, our youngest son, was up here last weekend. Jeremy sent me a text and said, I thought you might want to know what Bailey posted online. And he lives in New York, and we live in Los Angeles. And after he spent the weekend up here on the Oregon coast, he posted online, my home away from home.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go.
For me as a dad, that meant everything, because we've kept this house as a special place for our family to come together, where it's family first. It's board games and playing cards and sitting in front of the fire. It's not about technology and watching TV. It's going down on the beach and doing a bonfire
yeah.
or going crabbing or clamming. It's just about being together, and it's special.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, thank you, Scott, for dropping by and coming on Father Figures for this episode. Thank you, Jennifer, for being there. You know, she's going to inch her way onto the show until she becomes that creature that comes out of the stomach in Alien, you know?
Well, I'm just glad I was able to start and have such a great guest to be my first one. So.
Yeah.
Well, I'm honored to be with both of you, and I'm honored to know you guys. You're wonderful people. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I want to thank Jason Shaw of Audionautix.com for the music. And of course, thanks again to Scott Foreman for taking time to be with us and share in his love for this beautiful coast and for all his important work in philanthropy. And remember, if you'd like to get in touch with us, send a note along to RadioRanchero@gmail.com. That's RadioRanchero@gmail.com. With that, remember, the days may be long, but the years are short. But I've heard